Blog Talk Radio.
And hello, praise God, everybody. This is the Preacher and the Miracle Man coming to you live on a Wednesday night. I'm at McDonald's here at 1711 South Saginaw Road. I'm across the store, across the road from Kmart. I'm northwest of a Marathon gas station and southeast of a Disability Network for Mid-Michigan office. And so I'm right there, pretty much almost in between Patrick and Haley Streets here in Midland. And so we're here. Generally, what we do on this program is we talk about faith and we talk about God, and we talk about sports as well. So, just so you have an idea. So, here's something I've been thinking about. We're real people. We have real problems. But we serve a real God who's able to deliver us from all these things. And guess what? God really loves us. And something to be confident about. Also, our goal is to change the world through faith and radio. That's what this is. This is online radio. And as Preacher Man said last night, this can be used in so many powerful ways. Like the story that Preacher Man told last night about how they used it to help raise that person from the dead. And it really works. Praise God. And also, we are not Bible-thumping bullies. We're just everyday believers who do this because we have a passion for people. And so we're so glad that you could join us tonight, wherever you may be. Here's the plan for tonight. We're going to read chapter 7 of Exodus. Which means that we're going to learn about the first plague that was Moses and the Israelites had to deal with. And so we're going to read that. We're also going to read. We're also going to read our verses on faith, which is all of Hebrews 11, and the first couple of verses of Hebrews 12. I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to exhort on however the Lord leads. Last night we just had a great time talking about the anointing of God and how it's so powerful and how it's so mighty, how chains can be broken by the anointing. And tonight we're going to see where God takes us from there. And after that, we're going to get into sports. We had a Michigan game last night, and I'll tell you what happened there. I also have football games for the weekend and my predictions as far as what I think is going to happen in these games. Some of these things that I'm going to pick to happen could be a surprise, or it might not be. It depends on how all you great football fans who are out there see it. So we're going to do that. And then we're going to end the show with that. And so, what did you say?
Nothing.
Never mind. Okay. So, you're thinking this. For example, you could be thinking this. So, I learned how to join on the program. No, this isn't me saying this. This could be you. I learned how to join the program, as I've been told, about this great, you know, Preacher and Miracle Man show. You know, how do I tell other people how to get involved and join this powerful program? And here's what you do. Here's what you tell them. You tell them, you go to blogtalkradio.com. That's all one word, blogtalkradio.com. Now, what you do after you type that in is you go to the search bar. On that search bar, you type in Upfront Entertainment. Once again, that's Upfront Entertainment. You type that in, and you hit after that, and then you'll see a link, and that link will be to us, the Preacher and the Miracle Man show. This is episode number 69. 69 episodes. That's 69 times
awesome.
that we've done this.
Awesome.
Amen. So, yep, this is the 69th time we've done this. And so, and when you get on it, you can hit that follow button. That follow button is awesome because it lets you know when a show has been scheduled, it lets you know when it's about to go live. So it'll say, Preacher and Miracle Man are going to go live in 15 minutes, for example. And then you'll know that, oh yeah, let's get ready. That show is going to be on. And so we're so glad to be able to bring this to you. Here's something real cool about this. All these episodes that we've done, they're all archived. So you can go back and listen to them. Like last night, for example, that was a great episode. And I talked about, like I said, I talked about being one of your God. Here's something else we always say. It's always a smart thing to listen to this program on your smartphone. There's two ways you can do, and there's two ways you can listen to this program. One way is to go to blogtalkradio.com and do this, follow those steps. The other way is to, we have a special number that you can call in at. That number is 215-383-3810. Again, that telephone number is 215-383-3810. You press 1 after being prompted. You'll press 1, and then you'll go to a screener. And then if you'd like to talk to us, you can. You want to talk about faith or football or why is Snow White instead of a different color like yellow or brown? Just an idea. Or whatever. In reality, you want to talk about God or you want to talk about the anointing, sports, whatever. We're all good. But we have two rules, house rules, that we want to remind you of. First rule. This is not a political talk show. There are other options that you have based on what your party is. For example, Rush Limbaugh, Glenn Beck, Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham. They all do a great job, and I agree with those people for the most part. However, this show is not a political talk show. We don't do politics on the show because for what we want, we're trying to do, that doesn't breed life. Decided that talking about politics doesn't exactly breed life, so we're not doing that on this program. If you want to talk politics on this program and you insist on it, what's going to happen is we're going to tell you to pray over your leaders. Because you should be doing that anyway. So don't call and complain to us that you don't like something that your governor did or something that your senator did or something that our president did. So that's one rule, is we don't do politics. And the other rule is this, clean air. This is a family show, so we ask that you keep your comments. If you want to talk to us, we ask that you keep it clean. And the rule we use to help with that is if you wouldn't say it to Jesus, don't come on and say it on that on this program. So that is our other rule. And so other than that, you know, you're free to come on and talk to us, and it'll be great. And again, that telephone number is 215-383-3810. And remember to press 1 after being prompted to do so if you'd like to come on and talk to us, whether it be me or whether it be Preacher Man or both of us. We'd love to help you. We'd love to pray with you. We'd love to or talk sports with me or Preacher Man. So we have that all for you. And so before I get into prayer, I should say this. This show has been brought to you by America's favorite beverage, Coca-Cola, which is available in many sizes, available all over the place, different than flavors. For example, Cherry Coke, Vanilla Coke, Diet Coke. And it is a year younger than Dr. Pepper, but that doesn't mean that Dr. Pepper is exactly, in my mind, the best soft drink on the earth. I like
it. It just makes it the best soft drink on the earth. That's all.
Oh, okay then. Well, Cherry Coke is also, and Vanilla Coke, and Coke with Slime. By the way, what happened to Coke with Slime? I could tell Coke with Slime was okay, but nonetheless, I prefer regular cherry and vanilla. And by the way, I could also care less about the Diet Pop Coke or Coke Zero Sugar for that matter, because to me, none of that tastes like
Dr.
the real thing.
Dr. Pepper would be good lime? Do you think Dr. Pepper would be good lime?
I'd have to look to see. So,
not going to try it, but I'll be quiet after the back of the program.
Okay. Okay. So, nonetheless, Coca-Cola, best drink ever, and according to me, I fell in love with it when I was young. I still love it. Going. And remember, it is always available as a fountain drink at McDonald's, generally always. And if the drink fountain is down, chances are they'll have it and 2 liters pouring it into the glasses, as what happened to me for a time at the mall when we had a McDonald's at the mall. So, with that, we're going to get into the word of prayer. A word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this wonderful show. And I'm thankful for these people who would listen to it. I thank you that you bless my lips tonight. I thank you that you bless me and show me what I'm to say. Show me what I'm to do. Show me how I'm to minister to these people. And I allow you, Jesus, to just come on and interrupt me if that's what you want to do. I just claim that you would bless me tonight. Bless Preacher Man. And tonight, and just bless us for and redeem our time for all the time we've put into this program. And I pray right now for these listeners. I claim that these listeners are changed. And I claim that we're going to start seeing testimonies from listeners. And I claim right now that this listenership is going to continue to grow mightily, and that it's going to grow exponentially as people tell other people about this great program, that your hand is upon it. And I just claim that you're with us in everything we do. And I just claim that you would be with us tonight as we study in your word tonight. And then as we talk about what you have us speak of tonight. And I thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to the book of Exodus chapter 7. Hallelujah. Thank you. Praise God. And we're going to find out tonight about how God absolutely hardened the heart of Pharaoh. Totally. He hardened it really big time. And then to the point where Pharaoh would not obey. And so, used the staff. And then what ended up happening is, well, as you listen to me read, we're going to find out exactly what happens. And so, stay with us. So, the scripture plan for tonight is this. We're going to read tonight in Exodus chapter 7. Then we're going to read from Hebrews chapter 11. And then we're going to read the first couple of verses of Hebrews chapter 12, like we've been doing. So, Exodus 7, Hebrews 11, first two verses of Hebrews 12. So, that I've been saying quite a bit lately. The reason I've been saying it lately is because Dr. Barclay's been saying it a lot for the past 5 months or so. And here is what it is. This show is not, and I repeat, it is not just the Preacher and the Miracle Man show. That means it's not, I don't want it to be that it's just me reading the verses and no one pays attention. I want it to be that, we're reading the Bible and you people are turning to the verses and, engage. And so, if you got your Bible, open it up and study with us. If we pray, you pray. We sing, you sing. That's how we do the show. And one more thing I want to say before I read. And that is, I forgot what it was, but I'm gonna read the Bible, and then if I remember what it is, then I'll say it. So Hebrews 11, verse 1. Exodus chapter 7, and we're going to begin with verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron will be your prophet. You are to say everything I command you, and your brother Aaron is to tell Pharaoh to let the Israelites go out of the country. I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and though I multiply my miraculous signs and wonders in Egypt, he will not listen to you." Oh, did you catch that? God knew that Pharaoh was not going to listen. He already knew that Pharaoh wasn't going to listen. So, Preacher Man, I have a question. If he knew God wasn't going to listen, if he knew that Pharaoh wasn't going to listen, why do you think God told Moses and Aaron, tell them to let my people go?
Well, give him a chance. Give some of the Egyptians a chance, because the scripture very specifically says that there were Egyptians that left following the light.
Yeah.
So it may not have been Pharaoh. Pharaoh already had a track record of rebellion and hatred toward Jehovah God, but there was people in Egypt who left with the Israelites saying, "I'm going to get away from this guy. He's destroying us. Let's go with these people. The blessing of God seems to be on them."
Yep. That's exactly right. Let me just find my place here. Brother Aaron will be command you in the country and will not listen to Egypt. He will not listen to you. Then I will lay my hand on Egypt, and in my mighty acts of judgment, I will bring out of my divisions my people, the Israelites. And the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring the Israelites out of it. Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord commanded them. Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron was 83 when they spoke to Pharaoh. Imagine that. They were already what would be considered in today's day and age rather elderly. He was 80. He wasn't 30. He wasn't 25. He wasn't 45. He wasn't even 65. He was 80 years old. And people think that when they're 80, they should be retired. Mark T. Buckley don't plan to retire. And he's just 65. Verse 8, and the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "When Pharaoh says to you, perform a miracle, then say to Aaron, staff, and throw it down before Pharaoh, and it will become a snake." So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did just as the Lord commanded. Aaron threw his staff down and throat in front of Pharaoh and his officials, and it became a snake. Pharaoh then summoned wise men and sorcerers, and the Egyptian magicians also did the same thing to their secret arts. Each one threw down his staff, and it became a snake. But Aaron's staff swallowed up all the other staffs. Yet Pharaoh's heart became hard, and he would not listen to them, just as the Lord had said. Then the Lord said, now verse 14, then the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is unyielding. He refuses to let the people go. Go to Pharaoh in the morning as he goes out to the water. Wait on the bank of the Nile to meet him, and take in your hand the staff that was changed into a snake. Then say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has sent me to say to you, let my people go so that they may worship me in the desert. But until now, you have not listened. This is what the Lord says. This you will know, that I am the Lord. And the staff that is in my hand, I will strike the water of the Nile, and it will be changed into blood. The fish in the Nile will die, and the river will stink, and Egyptians will not be able to drink its water. Said to Moses, tell Aaron to take your staff and stretch out your hand over waters of Egypt, over the streams and canals, and over the ponds, and over all of the reservoirs, and they will turn to blood. Blood will be everywhere in Egypt, even in the wooden buckets and stone jars. Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord had commanded. He raised his staff in the presence of Pharaoh and his officials and struck the water of the Nile, and all the water was changed into blood. And the fish in the Nile died, and the river smelled so bad that the Egyptians could not drink its water. Blood was everywhere in Egypt, but the Egyptian magicians did the same things to their secret arts, and Pharaoh's heart became hard. He would not listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had said. Instead, he turned and he went into his palace and did not take even this to heart. And all of the Egyptians dug along the Nile to get drinking water because they could not drink the water from the river. 7 days later, after the Lord struck the Nile, chapter 8. I have it in me that I feel like I should also read 8 while I'm at it. So, I will. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 8. And we're going to see what happens next. Then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, this is what the Lord says, let my people go so that they may worship me. And if you refuse to let them go, I will plague your whole country with frogs. The Nile will teem with frogs. They will come up into your palace and your bedroom, and onto your bed, into the houses of your officials, and on your people, and into your ovens, and into your kneading troughs. The frogs will go up on you, and your people, and all of your officials. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, stretch out your hand with your staff over the streams and canals and ponds, and make frogs come up on the land of Egypt. So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land. But the magicians did the same things to their secret arts. and they also made frogs come up on the land of Egypt. Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, "Pray to the Lord to take the frogs away from me and my people, and I will let your people go into your sacrifice, to offer sacrifices to the Lord." Moses said to Pharaoh, "I leave to you the honor of setting the time for me to pray for you and your officials and your people, that you and your houses may be rid of the frogs, except for those that remain in the Nile." "Tomorrow," Pharaoh said. Moses replied, "It will be as you say, so that you may know that there is no one like the Lord, our God."
Hey, Miracle Man.
Yes?
Isn't it interesting that the magicians couldn't make the frogs leave, even though they could make frogs come?
Yep. And I know for
That's
sure
all.
There's a reason. There's a reason. There's a reason. And the frogs will leave you and your houses, your officials, and your people. And they will remain only in the Nile. After Moses and Aaron left Pharaoh, Moses cried out to the Lord about the frogs he had brought on Pharaoh. The Lord did what Moses asked. The frogs died in the houses, in the courtyards, and in the fields. They were piled into heaps, and the land reeked with them. But when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his... He made his heart really soft, and he said, "Yeah, they can go worship." He said, "Yeah, they can go worship. Yeah. Wait. There's a problem. The problem is it doesn't say that. Instead, it said when there was relief, Pharaoh hardened his heart and said, he would not listen to Moses or to Aaron, just as the Lord had said. Then the Lord had said to Moses, "Stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the ground. And throughout the land of Egypt, the dust will become gnats." They did this, and when Aaron stretched out his hand with the staff and struck the dust of the ground, gnats came upon men and animals. All of the dust throughout the land of Egypt became gnats. But when the magicians tried to produce gnats by their secret arts, they could not. And the gnats were on men and animals. The magician said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." But Pharaoh's heart was hard, and he would not listen, just as the Lord had said. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Get up early in the morning and confront Pharaoh as he goes to the water and say to him, 'Let my people go so that they may worship me. If you do not let my people go, I will send swarms of flies on you and your officials, on your people, and into your houses. The houses and the Egyptians will be full of flies, and even the ground where they are. But on that day, I will deal differently with the land of Goshen, where my people live. No swarms of flies will be there, so that you will know that I, the Lord, am in this land. And I will make a distinction between my people and your people. This miraculous sign will occur tomorrow. And the Lord did this. Dense swarms of flies poured into Pharaoh's palace and into the houses of his officials and throughout Egypt. His land was ruined by the flies. Then Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, "Go sacrifice to your God here in the land." But Moses said, "That would not be right. The sacrifices we offer the Lord our God would be detestable to the Egyptians. And if we offer sacrifices that are detestable in their eyes, will they not stone us? We must take a 3-day journey into the desert to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God, as he commands us." Pharaoh said, "I will let you go to offer sacrifices to the Lord your God in the desert, but you must not go very far. Now, pray for me." Moses answered, "As soon as I leave you, I will pray to the Lord. And tomorrow, the flies will leave Pharaoh and his officials and his people. Only be sure that Pharaoh does not act deceitfully again, not by not letting the people go to offer sacrifices to the Lord." Then Moses left Pharaoh and prayed to the Lord. And the Lord did what Moses asked. The flies left Pharaoh and his officials and his people. Not a fly remained. But this time, also Pharaoh hardened his heart and would not let the people go. Still wouldn't let him go, huh? Someone made a song about that, believe it or not. And they say, and it went like this: "Pharaoh, Pharaoh, oh, Pharaoh, let my people go. Oh, no, no, no. Pharaoh, Pharaoh, oh, Pharaoh, let my people go."
Yeah.
What? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let my people go, yeah.
Now, turn with me, please, if you got your Bibles, to Hebrews chapter 11.
Hey, while you're going there, let me tell you something about the blood.
Go ahead.
You know, the Nile, the Egyptians worshiped the Nile.
Yep.
Because it brought them, you know, water, and it made their land all fertile. So you think about Pharaoh going down there to the Nile that morning to probably offer a sacrifice to the water god or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And when he showed up, it turned to blood.
Yeah. And he's probably thinking, what? Look at this water. Look at this water. And that's what happened.
And that's when that song was created you just sang. Whoa. All right, go ahead. Hebrews 11. Sorry, I didn't mean to. All right.
So, no, that's funny. Now we're going to find out about this faith stuff. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for, being certain of what we do not yet see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what was seen was not made out of what was visible. That's how God made the oceans, the seas, the land. Back in Genesis chapter 1. Abel offered God a better sacrifice than what Cain did. And by faith he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith he still speaks, even though Abel is dead. By faith Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. That was the first rapture. And when he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who believes that he exists, he must first believe that he exists and that those who earnestly seek him. And by faith, Noah, when he was warned about things not, when he was warned about things not seen, in holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he obeyed. He condemned the world, and he became heir of the oneness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and he went, even though he didn't know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He was a nomad. He was a nomad. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs of the same promise. And he was looking forward to the city of foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was of past age and Sarah herself was barren, was not about to become a father. He was to become a father because he considered himself faithful. He considered him faithful who had made the promise. Hang on, I'm just finding something here. Because he considered him faithful who the promise. And by faith, who had made the promise. And so for this, and he was as good as dead. So from this man, the descendants became as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All of these people were still living by faith when they died. Think about this. None of these people gave up. None of them gave up the faith. Hey, listen up, folks. You believe in God for something and it hasn't manifested yet? Don't give up the faith. Don't let your faith take a break. Don't go on a faith vacation. What I mean is, don't let your faith just take a break and say, and get this in your mind like, my miracle hasn't happened yet. It hasn't been made manifest. I've been waiting for, this certain number of years and hasn't made manifest yet. So what business do I have still believing? You got to keep believing God. And all these people were still living by faith when they died. Even though they did not receive the things promised. They only saw them, and they welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on Earth. 14. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, he offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. And by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, he spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt, and he gave instructions about his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw that he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. And by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. And by faith, the prostitute, Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I don't have the time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned into strength, and who became powerful in battle, and who routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. They were not worthy. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and in holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had promised something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who with the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand. Consider him who, of the throne of God. So what I get out of this is something I want to really encourage you about, and that is this. Miracles don't always come super quickly, and they don't always come when you think they will. So here's what you need to do. This is very important. You need to keep the faith and don't give up. Don't give up. We've all had times where we felt like giving up. I'm sure, well, at least most of us have, where we felt like just giving up on a miracle. I'm thinking, I've been believing for so long. It hasn't been manifest yet. I think I'm just going to throw in the towel and forget about it because I'm always going to be this way. Hey, I don't do that. I keep believing all the time. And I believe that it's going to come. My sight is going to come. And this leads me to something else that is extremely related, though. You're dealing with this influenza stuff right now. And what I mean by that is, I mean, you have it. Let me rephrase that. It's in your body. Or someone you know has it in your body. Or maybe it's beyond the flu. Maybe it's cancer. Stop saying, I have cancer. I have it. Instead, start saying, it's in my body. But by the faith of Jesus, my healing is going to be made manifest. Going to be made manifest. Trying to live in my body, and I'm not going to let it stay. So you can't take faith breaks. You take faith breaks, opens the door for more things to happen. You could still be coming to church all the time and that, but that doesn't make it any better, because taking a faith break would be like not guarding your home. Taking a faith break can lead to total disasters. And so please don't take a faith break. You gotta keep saying, I'm healed, I'm whole, I'm set free, I'm rich, if you're dealing with, you know, when there's a hard time for a lot of people, they say Christmas is a hard time for a lot of people, but you know what else is? Winter. the dead of winter. It's cold outside. You can't be in the sunshine that much because in so many places it's just so cloudy right now with it being winter. I'm not saying that that's an excuse for a lot of people. This is just a hard time. And people are lonely. People, so you claim, you know, by faith I'm happy. I don't have to feel alone like this. I have people to turn to. And so, yeah, that's something to think about. But the main thing that I want people to get out of this tonight from that faith reading is number one, don't give up the faith. Don't take a faith break. And the other big thing is this. Watch your confession. Watch your confession. That confession stuff is so important. You got to make sure that you're saying good confessions over yourself and over your body, over your money, over your children. So instead of that, this could be this. Instead of saying my son's a prodigal, you could say my son right now, he might not be obeying God necessarily, but guess what? He's going to come home and he's not going to be doing that anymore. So you'll be speaking God things. And it's not about positive thinking. No. It's godly confessions. Pastor has a say almost every time now. If he's there and we take the tithes and offerings, Pastor has us all say aloud, I am blessed. After we come back to our seats. And there's a reason. And he's doing that for a reason. And that confession stuff is really good stuff. And it's really important stuff. Now, I had it on my heart right now to pray over these people who are dealing with winter sadness. And there's something I want to tell them, too. So, you know, my mom was telling me about it this morning, but she's not by any means the reason why I'm going to do this. I'm doing it because I felt like God wanted me to do this. So, I will do it right now and obey God. Dear God, I pray right now over these people who are lonely this time of year and are depressed. And to anybody who's depressed, even if it's not just seasonal. And I thank you, pray, Lord God, over those people who are depressed or feel lonely. I pray, Lord God, that you speak to these people and that these people somehow find you and that you help them with whatever it is that they have need of and that we can find out what's not going right for them. And I claim that you are the ultimate reliever of depression. It's not a pill. It's not a pill. It's not a substance you take. It's you, Lord God, that's the ultimate depression reliever. And that you're the ultimate friend. So, and I just give you praise and honor and glory for that. And I just claim that you would get inside these people. Help them feel happy again. Because Jesus is not something to be sad about. And Lord, I just thank you for that in Jesus' name. And now, for these people who are feeling really lonely right now for whatever reason, maybe you're just going through a hard time. Maybe it's the fact maybe that could be maybe if you live up in the north and all these other people that you know have lived down south, like in Florida or whatever. But guess what? Jesus wants to be your best friend. Jesus is the best friend you'll ever have. And if you let Jesus be your friend, you won't be lonely anymore. You won't be lonely anymore because you'll have him, Jesus. Yes, it's a spiritual man, being. And he'll be right there with you. He'll be comforting you. He'll be right there. You won't have need of anyone else. You'll have him. If that's what's going on. And I just felt like God felt that God had something that he wanted me to say to all these people who are struggling with, you know, loneliness, depression, sometimes it can be a symptom of that, seasonal affective disorder. You know, that happens when it becomes winter time. And, I just thought that God wanted me to deal with that. And this thing with Moses, isn't it so amazing, people? I mean, isn't it so amazing that when the magicians in chapter 8, when they tried to make flies come out, the flies didn't come. It only worked when Aaron and Moses tried it. And they said that it was the finger of God. You just look at that and you go, wow. And we're going to go into sports, but first I'm going to pray this prayer. Lord God, I just pray over these beautiful people. I claim right now, Jesus, that this time that we spent in your word and that we spent exhorting people tonight in this exhortation about the faith, we claim that these people will take this to heart. And I claim that your hand is on these people. And I know, Lord God, that you're the comforter. You're the comforter. You're our best friend, whether we're lonely or not. You're the best friend that anyone can have. And I just pray that you're ministering to every one of us as we continue to in the goals of coming closer to you, Lord God. And as you know, Lord God, I'm trying to work on that myself this year. It's getting a bit closer to you. And I claim, Lord God, that we can all achieve it. And I just claim that you bless these people for listening to me tonight. And I just claim that they'll be so blessed for taking time to listen to me. And I thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I just remembered what I was going to say before I got into the Bible reading. And that is this. This program should not be a substitute for going church attendance. I know it's Wednesday night. Some of you are getting right ready to go to church for the next few minutes. But this should be a supplement to going to church, not a substitute. So if you live near a great spirit-filled local church, go. We have a resource, we have something you can go to, a website you can go to that has a church locator on it, so you can locate a great church. That is marktbarclay.com, and go to the preacher locator, and you'll find a large, big list of churches who are affiliated with the Righteous Preachers Network. And the Righteous Preachers Network is a great thing. It's a great network of preachers all over the country. And you will be able to find a church that you can get into and be fed and continue in your walk with God. And so I just thank everybody for listening. And now we're going to get into football. That's right. It's time for the second weekend of the NFL playoffs. And of course, this is one game elimination. One winner goes home. No, loser goes home. Winner moves on. And here's what's going to happen. I'm going to give the matchup, and then I'm going to give the prediction and score. And where applicable, I'm going to state the reason. So, with that in mind, here we go. We're going to start with AFC side. Patriots versus this weekend. Patriots versus Titans in New England. Titans had that big upset over the Chiefs in Kansas City. However, Patriots have that monster in Tom Brady. And I honestly think that New England is going to take this game. I do think the Titans will be scrappy at times, but in the end, I think New England will come away with the win. So, give me the Patriots over Titans by a score of 28-17. Again, that is Patriots over the Titans, 28-17. On the other side of the AFC, you have the Jaguars going to Pittsburgh to take on the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Jaguars, who were able to punch it in and were able to beat the Bills, had to play a Steelers team who, with Roethlisberger, has put up some great numbers this year. And quite honestly, I think the Jaguars are going to go down, Steelers. Give me the Steelers over the Jags by a score of 27-18. NFC, you have Atlanta versus Philadelphia, 6 seed versus 1 seed. And quite honestly, I think this could end up being closer, a lot closer than what some people could have imagined. Philadelphia has a backup quarterback in right now because their starting quarterback got injured. So that can be a factor in this game. However, though Atlanta's defense did great on Saturday, I think Philadelphia is going to be a bit tougher. So, give me the Eagles over the Falcons, 30-27. Once again, that's Eagles over Falcons, 30-27. In the other game, New Orleans Saints go to Minnesota Vikings to play the Vikings this weekend. And here's something that I think is really cool to think about. This is pretty cool. If the Vikings can win this weekend, and then if they can win next weekend in the NFC Championship game, they would actually get to be at home for the Super Bowl. This is the first time that that's ever happened. And I think it's possible that that could happen. But we did have
a home for the Super Bowl. Which team
Vikings
would be?
The Vikings would be the first team. However, Vikings are going to have to deal with a Saints team first. A Saints team who was able to hold their own against the Panthers to win 31-26. And the Saints, ever since that 0-2 start, they've been doing very good. Not to mention the fact that the Vikings actually lost to Carolina this year. And Vikings had given up some leads that they wish they didn't give up. The Saints have been a challenge for a lot of people, especially when they've been at home. Even though they're on the road, I honestly think that the Vikings season is going to come to an end, even though they're at home. I think the Saints are going to beat them. I think it's going to be 27-21 Saints in Minnesota. I just think that Ruiz is going to have a good day. And I just think that the New Orleans defenders are going to give New Orleans a little bit of a struggle. I mean, they're going to give Minnesota a little bit of a struggle. Vikings a couple of years ago, last time they were in the playoffs, they fell right out by losing to Seattle in Minnesota, 13-12, on a botched field goal that Blair Walsh missed. The Vikings also missed a field goal in 1998 that could have at least extended overtime so that they could have beaten the Falcons in 1998. The Vikings didn't make that field goal. Also, Vikings had a chance in 2009 to knock off the Saints. Instead, ball intercepted by Favre. Saints go for a field goal in overtime. They get the field goal. Saints win. That's three different times that it came down to the wire, and the Saints could and the Vikings could not finish it off. That's three times in the past. And that's three times within a 17-year span. And honestly, I just think the Saints are going to be too much for the Vikings. Even though I do still see it as being a close game, 27-21. So, for the football picks, I will repeat them one more time. I have the Patriots over the Titans, the Steelers over the Jaguars on the AFC side. On the NFC side, I have the Falcons losing. The Falcons losing to the Eagles, and then I have Vikings losing to the Saints. So that's what we have for week 18 of the football season. No, week 19 of the football season, also known as week 2 of the NFL playoffs. In college basketball last night, number 5 Purdue beat Michigan by a score of 75-70. Michigan tried to make it interesting. At times, Purdue was up by a lot. At other times, Michigan tried to make it interesting, but they couldn't. Michigan could never totally get a great groove going. Other college scores of note. Number 24 Kentucky survived a scare and was able to win their game. Also, number 24-ranked Tennessee was able to survive a scare from Texas Tech. Virginia was able to win, but they had to survive a scare. Same thing with West Virginia, who are ranked numbers 2 and 3. Number 2, Michigan State. No, number 4, Michigan State has to play Michigan this week. So watch out for that. Pistons out on the road tonight at 8 o'clock. Red Wings play very soon. And so with that in mind, thanks everyone who's listened to this great show tonight. And I confess Psalm 91 over all you people, over everybody. I claim that no plague shall, that no evil shall befall us and no plague shall come nigh our dwelling. For you have given your angels charge over us, God, to keep us in all of our ways. I claim that no murderer, no burglar, no drunk driver, no drug driver, no rapist, no suicide, no fire, no flood, no crash, no sickness, no disease, no terrorist. None of this evil stuff is going to come near us. And we're going to be in great peace and in great joy and be a powerful witness for our Jesus until we see you all again. And everybody say amen. And I sure love you, everybody.
Amen. Love you too, Miracle Man.
Yep. And remember,
yep.
Until next time, God first,
God always. God always.
So long, everybody, and I will see you next time.
See you next time. Bless you, man.
Yep. What's it do?
Yep. What's it do?
Love you.
Love you.
Love you.